broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Bill Hendren.
So the majority leader wants us to go out for the weekend.
What? What happened there? Do it again. Do it again.
So the majority leader wants us to go out for the weekend.
I face the world as it is.
Uh-huh.
And cannot stand idle in the face of threats.
But 2,074 pages isn't nearly enough to cover.
Can we talk about your arms?
My arms?
Your arms.
I was born of a whore and bred as an assassin.
I'll go along with a lot of things, but not no Judas, not no informant.
World famous Phil Hendry Show every night until 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The only news, talk, and entertainment show where truth is our bitch. Each and every night we bring you reality through the looking glass. We take you into, actually, the guts, right? The inner workings of talk radio and the media. Barbara Walters releases her 10 most fascinating people list. And, you know, I have this argument going on. Bud Dickman joins me along with Robert Leonard. And, of course, we have Ranson Rodriguez there in control about what is the most fascinating people.
She doesn't know anything about it and why anybody pay attention to it.
Because, if you've seen her ratings, man?
That's what I'm trying to tell them. Barbara Walters have ratings. Man, they blow everybody away.
Well, so?
So she knows what people thinks is fascinating. She may not even think that the people that she interviews are fascinating, although she fakes it pretty good, but she knows what other people want to watch. That's why Barbara Walters' specials rock the freaking world, you know?
Yeah, the reason why she gets all the ratings on account of they put it on after the Academy Awards.
No, ma'am.
Yeah, that's exactly why.
Yeah, but the Academy Awards suck now. Nobody wants to watch those. I bet you she gets more ratings than the Academy Awards. Anyway, we'll talk about that tomorrow morning at 9:20 on the Pacific Coast and 12:20 on the East Coast. I'll be on the Bubba the Love Sponge show, Sirius XM. Join us, won't you? Join Bubba and me, Bubba the Love Sponge, tomorrow morning with me, Phil Hendry. 877-876-PHIL is our number. You can also visit us online at philhendryshow.com. You can watch streaming video of the show every night. You can watch us perform our show. You can listen to our downloads the next day. You can listen to the live streaming audio if you want. But if you want to download the show the next day, you can do that. You can go into our archives and find hour after hour after hour after hour. I mean, I'm literally, it's got to be thousands and thousands of hours of the Phil Hendry Show there. Our website, PC Magazine, is called one of the funniest on the web. Get over there, get your backstage pass, and check out what's going on. Also, we're at Twitter at twitter.com/Phil Hendry Show. So Michelle Obama landed on the top of the Barbara Walters 10 Most Fascinating People of 2009. The list included singer Lady Gaga, singer Adam Lambert, former Alaska Governor Sarah Palin, radio and television host Glenn Beck, writer-director Tyler Perry, reality star Kate Gosselin, quarterback Brett Favre, South Carolina's First Lady Jenny Sanford, whose husband publicly confessed to having an affair. They have to put that in there because...
Yeah, nobody knows. Nobody would care about it.
Yeah, Jenny Sanford, her husband cheated on her with a Argentinian TV news. Oh, okay. Rounding out the list were Michael Jackson's three children, Prince Michael Jr., Prince Michael II, known as Blanket. Are they putting me on?
No, they call him that.
Who calls him that?
A lot of the media now, he prefers it.
Who prefers it?
Blanket, too.
Yeah, Blanket wants to change his name.
How old is this kid?
Probably about 2 or 3.
What do you mean he prefers Blanket? What, did he say that?
That's my understanding from what I've read.
Yeah, that's what I read of the different interviews.
The kid wants to be called Blanket. Anyway, Paris Michael Catherine is the other child, who are counted as one unit for the purpose of making it 10. So Barbara can squish all those little kids into one. You kids, you Michael Jackson kids especially, you're one unit. No one single one of you is interesting enough, you see. Although I personally would love to see a full hour of Barbara Walters interviewing Blanket. I'd just love to see you pull that one off, Babs. Anyway, in an interview with Fox talk show host Bill O'Reilly, Walters explained the thought process behind this year's selection. The word is fascinating, Walters said, as a little bit of spit flew out of her mouth and hit O'Reilly square on the forehead. The word is not newsmate. What?
Are you kidding?
Yes, I'm kidding.
Come on, man.
The word is not newsmaker. The word is not most important. The word is fascinating. Again, spit floor. Anyway, who are the people who, for one reason or another, fascinate us? Question mark. She didn't answer the question as O'Reilly got more incensed. Finally, toward the end of the interview, when Walters would not share with O'Reilly how it is she makes up this list, O'Reilly beat her to death there live on television. Walters, being dragged out of the studio, commented, Adam Lambert almost was the winner, but he's gay, and you know how that goes. So let's listen here as, no, I'm kidding around, okay?
Yeah, because sometimes I don't know.
Oh, will you give me a break? Do you think a story?
Well, you said it.
Do you think a story's going to say, yeah, Walters said this, that, this, that, as spit flew out of her mouth and hit, well, right. In any event, here is Michelle Obama as she comments to Barbara Walters. Walters, in a rare lesbian moment, no, she asked her about her arms.
Talk about your arms.
My arms?
Your arms.
Why, certainly.
Yes. Well, there has been so much written
about my arms?
Well, nobody has said a thing about your arms. So do you feel pressured to have great arms? Do you have to get up every day and do the exercises? And I'm so glad you wore a sleeveless dress.
Of course. You know. I have to say that my personal routine hasn't changed much in the past 11 years. I mean, I really started right after I had Malia, our oldest. And some of that was, you know, in all honesty, it was a little sort of revenge. because I'm married to a man who has worked out all of his life. And regardless of how busy he is, he finds the time to work out. And there was a point at which I got a little resentful of that. So, you know, if there's anything that I can attribute these arms to, it's probably just determination.
You know, it's amazing. The president is a cigarette smoker, and I find that somehow endearing. I really do. A lot of people will use, there's a lot of people who use anything they can to somehow tear down someone. You know, if you're opposed to somebody politically, you're going to tear them down any way you can. Here's a really interesting, I think this is interesting. Obama, in the speech that he gave, as we said, and as I think I heard a lot of conservatives say, I don't know about the liberals, I don't know what they were, they probably made him cry, but it was one of the most eloquent defenses of war. And, you know, I remember during the Iraq War, I used to see this bumper sticker.
You said spick.
I said, I misspoke. No, I didn't.
No, I didn't, man.
A bumper sticker that said, war is not the answer. And I always wanted to have one made up that said, war is sometimes the answer. But probably I'd get keyed or, you know, somebody would stick a railroad spike into one of my tires. But tonight, or today, or whenever the president gave the speech, he basically did the bumper sticker. War is sometimes the answer. War is sometimes the only solution. You don't, as he said, you're not going to defeat the Nazis with a nonviolence campaign. They're more than happy to put your you-know-what in a vice and go ahead and keep twisting up to patent pending. So that was a really good part of the speech. But what I heard today was this. Well, now, wait a minute. I thought he's gotten a peace prize. Why is he there defending war? In other words, if you're an opponent of Obama's and you're a conservative, why can't you just give the guy his due and say, hey, that was a pretty cool thing? But what's, you know, the Peace Prize, whatever. It's a stupid, it's a dopey trophy, let's just face it. It's probably got a lot to do with politics, just like the Academy Awards or any other award. But why not give the guy credit? Yeah, he got up there and he said some stuff about peace, but he also, I thought, in a very gutsy move, and the only time the cat got any applause, I remember I said this, and then we were listening to the audio, and I go, oh my God, there's the applause, because he got applause when he was saying something along the lines of how groovy peace is, but when he was talking about war, I mean, they sat there stone dead silent. All of those Scandinavians and whoever else they invite, they're all standing there with those big horn-rimmed glasses, you know.
Yeah, in those flat tops.
And the flat tops they wear, whatever. And flat tops?
Yeah, a lot of them do.
Yeah, a lot of Scandinavians with a flat top.
What do you mean, a flat top haircut?
Yeah, it has to do with how cold it gets.
Well, I don't know what the hell you guys are talking about. Anyway, here is the speech. As a matter of fact, we'll get to it right now. It is cut number 4, Obama's speech. This is where he gets the applause. And this is the only time in the speech where he got any applause at all.
I believe the United States of America must remain a standard bearer in the conduct of war.
Uh-huh.
That is what makes us different from those whom we fight. That is a source of our strength. That is why I prohibited torture. That is why I ordered the prison at Guantanamo Bay closed. And that is why I have reaffirmed America's commitment to abide by the Geneva Conventions. We lose ourselves when we compromise the very ideals that we fight to defend.
Yeah, that's it. And that was a part of the speech that I didn't like, you know.
Yeah, you were all disappointed about that.
Well, I did. I don't want that Gitmo bull crap. Yeah, stop. But I dug when he was talking about this.
I face the world as it is and cannot stand idle in the face of threats to the American people.
But watch what happens.
For make no mistake, evil does exist in the world. See? A nonviolent movement could not have halted Hitler's armies.
See? You know, crickets.
Negotiations cannot convince Al-Qaeda's leaders to lay down their arms. To say that force may sometimes be necessary is not a call to cynicism, it is a recognition of history.
Damn right.
The imperfections of man and the limits of reason.
What's bad about that? That is absolute, honest to God, gold standard truth. And you know, I got to tell you, it's been said before, but coming, say, out of the mouth of President Bush, or coming out of the mouth of any other president that people perceive in a cynical way, or perceive to be already sort of militaristic and prone in that direction, it wouldn't have the effect that it had with Obama, who's perceived to be this heavyweight liberal, coming out and basically making a Kennedy pitch there, which is, if you cross this line, then we will drop large bombs on you, and it'll hurt, and the whole world will be covered with a radioactive dust. All right.
I'll go along with a lot of things, but not no Judas, not no informant.
877-877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show, coming back here. We've got some stories having to do with, what was that stuff that you pulled there, bud? Well, we got some other interesting stories coming up on the program, including, and not limited to, 44% of the Americans in a new poll prefer Bush over Obama. Now, that's got to hurt. That's got to sting someplace. We'll be back. The world-famous Phil Henry Show.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Show.
877-876-PHIL and our website, philhenryshow.com, and our Twitter is twitter.com/PhilHenryShow, and our Facebook page is facebook.com/PhilHenry, and we're just all over the place, man. We're on every social networking site. I hear that there's going to be a website, a anti-Facebook site.
Yeah, they're going to help you become unaddicted or something.
Yeah, they said like it's drug.
No, what it is they're basically going to say it's a mockery of Facebook, and that it'll help wean you off of your ridiculous, asinine identity, you know, like yours, bud. You know, the one that you use online where you say,
I was born of a whore and bred as an assassin.
Cut it out, man. It makes me sound as if I'm, you know, a gay elf or something.
Man, I don't gay elf.
All right, well, easy. 877-876-PHIL. Now, here is an interesting, I find it really fascinating. I hope you guys do. Like I said, I can't reiterate this enough. You know, when during the Iraq War, I'm driving around, I'm looking at war is not the answer, out of Iraq, this, that. And you can say it, but you can say to people, how can you say the war is not the answer when you know that war has been fought, many wars have been fought, many wars have been necessary? And they always come back with some Fruit Loop response, you know?
Yeah, well, they're living in a fruit land or something.
Well, fantasy land.
A lot of those, yeah, it is fantasy land, because those cats, I've always said that Americans have the luxury to engage in more ridiculous, asinine thinking than any other people on the face of the earth.
Like what?
Like, we have the luxury and the wealth and the time to engage in stupid crap, man. I mean, we sit around thinking about whether or not UFOs are inhabited by spiritual, like, you know, seraphim or something. I mean, what other people in the world besides the free and wealthy peoples of the industrialized nations have the time and have the luxury to speculate as to whether a UFO is a flying saucer, maybe some shorting out power lines, or one of God's archangels to, you know, visiting us? I mean, this is asinine, silly thinking. And you'd think with all of that freedom, we'd think about really good stuff.
Yeah, what do you mean by... People have the freedom to say that with things they want.
Yeah, but he's saying about thinking about stuff that's worth thinking about.
Like, for instance, What about that concept that Obama was talking about today? War is sometimes the answer. Now, what's the response you get? Naturally, you get this. Oh, really, Mr. Hendry? Have you ever been in a war? No, I have not. Oh, yeah. So you're a chicken hawk. No, I'm not. However, if you'd like me to get a whole bunch of military people here and you get yours, have you ever been in a war? No, but I'm not advocating. Well, I understand that. So you get all of your veterans and I'll get mine and we'll have a conversation. How about that? Or why don't you and I just talk about this and forget about whether I've been in a war or not? Well, if you had been, you wouldn't think the way that you do. Well, that's ridiculous. But even if I had been, I mean, there's plenty of people that have, and they believe that war is sometimes something you got to do. So, but Obama standing up and saying it, that carries a lot of weight. Or does it? When Obama was running for president, I used to say this. I don't know. Obama, Bush, presidents, all presidents, if they're halfway decent, are forced, sometimes against their will, but they are forced into a pragmatism, into an objectivism, as unbiased a worldview as they possibly can, because they have to solve problems. And your legacy, your name in history depends on it. If you stick to an ideology and you find that it is not getting the problem solved, you run the risk of going down in flames as a world-class jackball because you didn't look at the times and you didn't say, I'm sorry, I can't go along with the party and the ideology. I got to go this way. Many presidents have done it. Bush has done it. He took all kinds of crap for that TARP, all kinds of scumbags that voted in favor of that thing are today sticking the knife in Bush on that. And now Obama. And why? Because a president, in order to solve problems, at sooner or later has got to become more pragmatic than the average person. The base that elected him doesn't have to do that. They can sit there and be as rigid, as ideologic, and frankly, as stupid as they want to be, because they're not faced with these problems. They're not faced with the decision-making that goes along with them. So Obama's going to take heat or just be ignored for what he said. He said, war is sometimes necessary. The far left, they don't dig him for that because they are off imagining what inhabits a UFO and how can they get their pubic hair to grow twice as fast so they can be all the rage at the conclave there in Loring Park, if you know what I mean.
No.
Well, I'm not explaining it.
I think he's talking about a lesbian.
Why don't you just shut up? A new poll by a public policy polling, PPP, which is a leading national polling company based in North Carolina. 44% of Americans would rather have President Bush in office than President Barack Obama. How do you like that? Obama's popularity is also down from 53% in April to 49% in December. And this is according to the public policy polling, these guys are non-partisan. Perhaps the greatest measure of Obama's declining support is that just 50% of voters now say they prefer having him as president to George Bush, with 44% saying they'd rather have his predecessor. Well, Obama still leads. See, I don't take that as a slam on Obama. There's a lot of people that'll use that, because no matter what they can get their hands on to tear down any president, doesn't matter who, they will use it. And so they will say, ah, look at this, see, the poll says, I don't give a, if you were looking at me and you say, Phil, really, let me prove to you Obama sucks. Okay, tell me. This poll, are you giving me a poll? Yeah, you tell you what, man, you can keep your poll, okay? And next time, put a little rubber on the end of that thing.
What are you talking about, man?
Don't worry about it. Given the horrendous approval ratings Bush showed during his final term, that's somewhat of a surprise and an indication that voters are increasingly placing the blame on Obama. No, that just goes to show you the fickleness, the irritability, the up and down like a toilet seat temperament of the voter. It doesn't mean a bloody thing. It doesn't mean anything about the effectiveness of the president. It doesn't mean anything about his place in history. It doesn't mean anything about how good he's doing or how bad he's doing. It just means that people sometimes are scared, sometimes they're happy, sometimes they're thinking about it, and sometimes they ain't. Now, real clear politics, they have an average of a 48% approval for Obama right now. Now, it ain't down around the 30s where President Bush was, and some people may take comfort in that. I will tell you right now, don't even pay any attention to this jazz. It ain't any more significant today than it was last year. The only time that it is significant is when they're asking people, who are you going to vote for? And keep this in mind. People vote sometimes the same way they answer polling questions. Ain't that scary?
Yeah, but they change their mind in the privacy of their private time.
Yeah, okay.
God, man, it sounds like they're going to the bathroom.
877-876-PHIL. The bathroom.
Phil Hendry.
They do.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show here every night until 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the groundbreaking Phil Hendry Show, and you can be a part of it going over to our website and picking up your backstage pass and checking out our 5-day video archive and all the downloadable shows that you need to survive, because we got it, man.
People, you know, radio stinks so much. People got to go and listen to what we do because it's good.
That was really brilliant, man.
It was good, bud. That's fine.
Yeah.
By the way, I will be on.
You tell me you'll be on a sponge. On the sponge.
Not on the sponge.
On the sponge. No, I'm going to be on Bubba the Love. What do you mean the sponge?
Well, that's down on the Bubba Sponge.
His name ain't Bubba Sponge.
Bubba the Love Sponge, man.
You know, because his name's Bubba.
Well, what does that mean?
Forget it, will you? Bubba the Love Sponge Show. I'll be on it tomorrow morning, 9:20 Pacific, 12:20 Eastern on Sirius XM. U.S. researchers have found a drug-free way to block fearful memories, opening up the possibility of new treatment approaches for problems such as post-traumatic stress disorder, and this according to a report from these U.S. researchers. And this was, I'm sure, published, yes it was, in the journal Nature. Now, think about this. The findings in people built on studies in rats that showed that reactivating a memory by showing people objects that stimulate the fearful memory opens up a specific time window in which the memory can be edited before it's stored again. Before memories are stored, there is a period where they are susceptible to being disrupted, said Elizabeth Phelps of New York University, whose study she authored, and it appears in the journal Nature. Earlier studies have shown that drugs can be used to block fearful memories, but the results were not long-lasting. In other words, the memory came back. Phelps and colleagues based their studies on findings in rats that showed that old memories, like of a cat chasing them, or of cheese being stolen or something like that, that can be changed or reconsolidated.
So they remember about a cat, huh?
No, they don't. I'm fooling around, man.
What memory do a rat have?
I don't know, man. They're not probably going to be talking about a rat having a memory. If they have memories, well, maybe they do. It shows that old memories, yeah, rats are pretty intelligent, actually.
Yeah, they're being chased by a cat or a rat fight.
Yeah, like they had a fight with another rat group.
Another rat pack?
No.
Get out of here, will you please? Earlier studies have shown that drugs can be used to block fearful memories, but they're not long-lasting. Now, they based their studies on findings in rats that showed that old memories can be changed or reconsolidated, but only during a specific window time after the rat is reminded of the fearful memory. So what kind of a fearful memory would a rat have? A cat, or a big dog, or
Willard.
Willard. Or will you get out of here with Willard? Yeah, I bet you those rats were afraid of Willard.
What a freaky kid, man. I don't even want to know what he's done with a rat.
Yeah, your best friend's a rat. There's something, you know,
If your best friend's a rat, then he's a rat. The window of susceptibility is typically between 10 minutes after re-exposure to the object to 6 hours. Well, here's the whole thing with memories. As I was having a discussion with Rance.
Rats?
Yeah, with rats. And he said to me, well, now, wait a minute, man. Having that memory makes you the person that you are. Dealing with that memory helps strengthen you so that you have faced down that memory and you have conquered that memory, and now you are stronger, you're smarter, you are more experienced, you have been able to integrate that experience. To which I responded, what about cancer? Do I have to go through the pain and the agony of cancer? Or can I have the cancer removed so that I don't have to go through that? And that's when he said to me, you're an A. Well, he used the AH. Now, I don't know what he said, but he was probably thinking that. Once they had created the fear memory, according to this study, they simply showed a blue square which reminded them of the fear memory. Then the team waited 10 minutes and then started a training period where the volunteers were repeatedly exposed to the blue square without a shock. So in other words, they would see this memory as a, I don't even know, but they'd look at this memory as a blue square, but they wouldn't get this aversion therapy. Anyway, the doctor says that delaying the exposure training so that it falls within a period, blah, 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 the memory is susceptible to being edited, making a lasting difference. So bad memories that you have. Now, a lot of people are probably saying, well, you know, what is going on with this world, man? Do we not like pain? Can't we have pain teaches? Pain is good. Pain teaches. Yes, it does. However, you already have the pain. You went through the fearful experience. If you were a rat and you were chased by a big, fat calico cat or another rat stole your cheese, which is, I'm sure, what happened in this study, you don't need to go through that again. You already went through it.
Oh, I see.
Exactly. If you are a human being and you went through a traumatic thing, you went through that, you incorporated that, do you need to keep reliving it? You've already altered your behavior. You've already changed what you're going to do different the next time. You got to keep reliving this thing over and over and over again so that it destroys your life. So this is really good stuff, man, and I hope that they do rats have memories?
Well, they must.
I guess they do, and they're very intelligent animals, and I shouldn't have said that. I actually had a pet. We had a pet rat. Our rat's name was Cutie, and, well.
Go ahead, tell people.
Well, I used to carry Cutie around in the pocket of my shirt and feed him, it, her grapes.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. And then one day it stole my car. And all right, MTV's Jersey Shore gains protesters. Have you heard about this thing? Listen to this promo. If you're Italian, I suggest that you not listen to it. It may shock you. It may cause you to vomit. It may cause you to bleed from the ears.
MTV is taking you inside a shore house like you've never seen, full of the hottest, tannest, craziest Guidos. They keep their hair high.
It takes me about 25 minutes to do my hair.
I started the freaking poof.
Their muscles juice.
Pretty much I'm ripped up like Rambo.
I'm hot.
And they're fist pumping all summer long.
Fist pumping like champs.
So don't be a hater.
If hating is your occupation, I probably got a full-time job for you.
MTV's new series, Jersey Shore. Get ready for a whole new crazy. Premieres Thursday, December 3rd at 10, only on MTV.
Guidos.
Oh, worst day of my life.
Yeah. I'm going to tell you right now, boys.
You blew it!
In other words, there is a protest ongoing about this, having to do with the obvious reference to Guidos, having to do, you know, the obvious reference to these...
I'll go along with a lot of things.
Yeah. Now, here is another compilation of two promos that introduced a couple of cast members of Jersey Shores. This is obviously, this is going to be very controversial. People of Italian descent, maybe they're just a little sick and tired. Yeah, we get it about the mafia, okay? Every bloody, what do you mean Guido? Are you calling me that? Well, sure, ain't you Italian? I may be Italian, but that Guido bit, here is the compilation.
This is the situation right here. My abs are so ripped up, it's, we call it the situation.
You
usually when people
it.
See my six-pack, they're just like, oh, no, or, you know, oh, wow, let me see that, or, you know, people always trying to take pictures and whatnot.
Meet the entire cast of the Jersey Shore, Thursday, December 3rd at 10 on You to the Jersey Shore to meet Ronnie.
First impression is everything. Always have to look good. Always have to get a haircut. Always have to have new sneakers. Always have to look fresh. But I can't be with a girl that doesn't look prettier than me.
Meet the entire cast of the Jersey Shore, Thursday, December 3rd.
But here's the part they didn't like.
I was born of a whore and bred as an assassin.
You blow it!
So what they have to do now is MTV will run some kind of a gauntlet here on this thing. The controversial new reality series chronicling a spirited group of self-described, so I guess that's cool, right?
Yeah, well, what, are they going to do another show called N-Word? You know, they're self-described N's.
Yeah. I don't know. Self-described Guidos living in a New Jersey beach house has drawn protests of increasing volume. Now it appears that calls for a boycott are having an impact. Now, let's remember, when they say having an impact, that sounds like editorializing to me. And I will tell you that this is being written by James Hibbard. James,
you blow it!
Hibbard of Wired, and he writes... The Italian-American group Unico, which also protested HBO's The Sopranos, which that had a big effect. Not. That. How do you guys feel about that one? has asked members to, I love The Sopranos, okay, but that was about criminals. They happen to be Italian, and much of their Italian speak, much of the neighborhood speak was colorful. But nonetheless, they were, especially when they said,
I was born of a whore.
Now, anyway, in addition, one major media outlet reported that MTV New York offices were receiving death threats because of the show.
Yeah, there you go. On account of there's the mafia, and there you go.
No, that's not it. Anybody can phone in a death threat. It was probably you. All right, the Italian-American group Unico has asked members to complain to MTV's advertisers. In the past couple of days, two advertisers on the show, Domino's Pizza and American Family Insurance. Well, okay.
What?
Domino's, American Family. I'm kidding. Have pulled out of the series. Jersey Shore furthers the popular TV notion that Italian-Americans are gel-haired, thuggish ignoramuses with fake tans, no manners, no diction, no taste, no education, no sexual discretion, no hairdressers, for sure, no real knowledge of Italian culture, and no ambition beyond expanding steroid and silicone-enhanced bodies, blasted New York Post critic Linda Stasi on Monday. Wow! Would that programming ever have been allowed if the group were African-Americans? No, obviously not. Would that programming have been allowed if the group were Asians? Well, that's what,
Yeah, what can you say about that?
Yeah. I don't know what Asians, maybe they're, like, the only thing I know about Asians is what I saw in China, and that ain't, nothing like what most people know.
Like what?
Well, those are Chinese, I saw China in 1982, man. I can't say that, you want me to base a TV show on that? Everybody running around in slippers and in a Mao suit? That'd be one hell of a show, though, MTV. So in any event, would that programming have ever been allowed if the group were Hispanics? Jewish people, yes, it would have. In fact, I think there was a Saturday Night Live skit. MTV president of programming, Tony DeSanto, who is an Italian-American, stood there and said, Hey! Now, Tony said he's remained largely mum on the subject, though he told one group the cast takes pride in their ethnicity. In fact, it is a key driver of how they bond with each other and self-identify. They refer to themselves as Guidos in a positive manner, said Tony. And when he was called a Guido by one member of the assembled press, he started to cry. Former Hills cast member Spencer Pratt defended the network on Twitter. No comment on his wife, Heidi. He said, you know, that's nothing. He said, Linda Stasi, you should change your name to Linda Boring if you can't be entertained by young Italian-Americans enjoying youth, partying, and being fat and being promiscuous with the big ass, he said, end quote. All right. The initial round of criticism didn't seem to help Jersey Shore, which debuted Thursday to a relatively modest 1.4 million viewers. I don't know if that really is modest given cable television, number one, and what the traditional audience of MTV is, number two. So again, Mr. Hibbard at Wired. Adding to the drama is a clip from an MTV teaser for an upcoming episode of the show that's making the rounds online. It shows a man punching out one of the female housemates. Oh, that would be...
I gotta see that.
Let me see if there's anything...
MTV is taking you inside a shore house like you've never seen. Full of the hottest, tannest, craziest Guidos. They keep their hair high.
It takes me about 25 minutes to do my hair.
I started the freaking poof.
Bang, right? That's right where she gets smacked. All right. 877-876-PHIL, our number here, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Don't forget, we'll be on Bubba the Love Sponge tomorrow morning, and coming up, the stories we couldn't get to.
The world-famous Phil Henry Show.
I was born of a whore and bred as an assassin.
Bill Hendry.
I mean, I just went online and I took a look, and welcome back, world famous Phil Hendry Show. On this show, Jersey Shores, that we were talking about, which some in the Italian American community find offensive because they feel enough is enough with the Guido, enough is enough with the hair gel, enough is enough with the wife beater and the pinky ring and all this, and not all of us are hoods, and not all of us are stupid. I went online because they mention in one episode a woman gets decked, and I mean a full roundhouse, not even a roundhouse, it's a quick muscular jab to the face, and she goes down, and I just looked at the tape, and by God, and it's one of the cast members.
Yeah, her name's Snooki, and she got popped big time. Yeah,
She gets popped in a kisser, man, and drops like a sack of just, you know, cement, man. And this dude that hit her is some slob named Bobby or Billy or Bozo Farrow or some jazz, okay? So I can certainly understand how people will look at that if they're Italian, some, and say, wait a minute, okay? Now, this isn't even about the mafia. This is not about the La Cosa Nostra, the mafia, whatever you call it. This is about people that live in Brooklyn or Jersey Shores, and they're belting women, and they're hitting the deck.
Remember that one Sopranos where a guy beat that woman? That was great.
Yeah, that was great, man. That was sickening.
You said it was your favorite one.
I meant it was a very well-acted and very dramatic and very, very powerful episode. I didn't say it was my favorite one. But in any event, Jersey Shore. So don't miss it. I hear it's really great and it makes fun of a lot of... it's not good. Don't watch it. It sucks. Time now for the stories we couldn't get to here in the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Levi Johnston says, I like being a gay icon. Gays are people, too. You know what? You're right, Levi. On Monday night, Levi Johnston went on the Joy Behar Show to talk about his new role as a gay icon. As he sat there, he said, you know, Ms. Behar, you remind me of Marge Simpson, the way you sound. And she went, well, anyway, and he couldn't get off that. Then he seemed comfortable with the position of being a gay icon, despite growing up in Wasilla, where he had, quote, never seen a gay guy, end quote. Behar began the conversation asking Johnston if he realizes that he's a gay icon. I do, yeah, Johnston said. Way to disarm her there, Levi. Way to do it. I bet you Joy was going to try to embarrass you, and you said, yeah, gays are people too, Joy. You got a problem with that? And Joy just sort of snarled. She pressed on. She said, someone just told me there's a gay porno movie with a lookalike of you. How do you feel about all of that? Johnston seemed fine with it. Let them do what they're going to do, he said, and added that he doesn't want to do anything he would regret, possibly implying that that is why he himself declined to act in the pornographic film. Behar asked Johnston again how it feels to be a gay icon from a conservative background and observed that he seems to be very comfortable being a gay icon. Johnston concurs, though he does mention that growing up in Wasilla, I've never seen a gay guy in Wasilla, I don't think. Once I started doing all those tours and everything, I just, you know, they're people too, it doesn't matter to me, more fans, it's great. So in other words, Levi Johnston, who ain't exactly what we would call the sharpest knife in the drawer, made Joy Behar look like a real putz. Nice going.
Wow. Yeah, she didn't know what to say.
Way to go, Joy. You know, Joy, you know, I'm told you have a sense of humor. Why don't you use that instead of this frontal attack, man? You ain't no good at that, okay? In Indian Hill, Ohio, police in Southwest Ohio said a man was so angry that a park revoked his privileges that he destroyed the park gate with an assault rifle and an axe. Police said 23-year-old Michael Rosenbaum of Cincinnati was arrested on Tuesday on charges of vandalism and possession of criminal tools. Police said Rosenbaum lost his Grand Valley Preserve privileges after he ignored warnings to stop setting fires to keep warm while fishing. Indian Hill Detective Steve Macon said Rosenbaum on November the 24th destroyed the gate with an axe and fired four rounds into a box that controls the gate. Damage is estimated at $1,500. Rosenbaum was in jail on Wednesday. A message-seeking comment was left at the office of his attorney, Jack Rubenstein.
Maybe it's Jack Rubenstein that did it.
Yeah, that's right. Jack Rubenstein, Mike Rosenbaum's the attorney. I don't know. A close inspection by Customs and Border Protection officers at Dulles International Airport turned up something unexpected. Inside a fully cooked chicken, they found cocaine with an estimated street value of $4,300. That wouldn't surprise me. The 60.4 grams, which is 2.3 ounces of coke, was found inside two small clear plastic bags inside the chicken's cavity. Officers discovered the white powdery substance during a secondary inspection after a flight from El Salvador arrived shortly after midnight on Saturday. It tested positive for cocaine. Now, wait a minute, man. Do you honestly think you're going to get chickens through the immigration and customs guy? What, are you nuts?
Why, what's wrong with that?
Well, who's going to bring two fully cooked chickens in internationally without somebody looking at them or throwing them away? God almighty, one of the reasons why drug dealers get arrested, just with all due respect, is because most of you cats are so stupid, it defies imagination. And the people you hire are even dummier. How about that for a word? All right, another news. Cowboy motorist helps Massachusetts troopers lasso two cows. Yes, when two Connecticut-bound cows escaped onto a busy Massachusetts highway, a cowboy stuck in a traffic jam came to the rescue. State police say the man wearing a Western hat and boots lassoed each of the 500-pound heifers who were wandering on Interstate 91 south in Springfield on Tuesday morning. And then Al Roker got back in his car and drove away. Troopers shut down the highway for about 30 minutes as the man helped load the animals back into the trailer. That was carrying them to nearby Enfield, Connecticut. The cowboy's still employed by NBC. The cows had escaped into slow-moving traffic near Exit 8 after a latch opened on the trailer. One of the cows opened it, too. Police say the cowboy did not want to be publicly identified, but you can see him every morning there, standing in front of a weather map. Now, in Dunnelon, Florida, a 53-year-old person of undetermined sex was arrested after allegedly hitting a man in the head with a raw steak. I bet she was a woman. According to a Marion County Sheriff's Office report, the man told deputies Elsie Egan, there you go.
Unless it's a cow.
There's a lot of cows named Elsie, you're right. Repeatedly hit him with the uncooked meat and slapped his face after he refused a piece of sliced bread. The man said he wanted a bread roll. Phil Henry Show, produced by Jason Rance, technical director Ralph Rodriguez. Until tonight or tomorrow morning, a very pleasant good morning from El Pacifico.
Birthday.
Phil Henry.